Blog Talk Radio.
Inner Healing is a worldwide community of people who believe healing comes from the inside, as well as all the answers needed to live a happy, healthy life. As such, this is the Inner Healers Radio, an online talk show on alternative medicine to provide life guidance and help people connect through emotion with their natural inner state of health. With this radio and the help of all our guests and followers, we hope to create a space for sharing our lives online. Listen to your favorite spiritual and master teachers, authors, psychologists, channelers, healers, psychics, music therapists, and more. My name is Luciana Stiglich. I'm the founder of Inner Healers, and I will be your host in this adventure. May you allow yourself to enjoy it.
Archetypes have been used as a model for self-awareness for many years, and since the publication of Carl Jung's Archetypes of the Unconscious, people have gained insights into themselves by focusing on their archetypes. Andika Waters, director of the Institute of Life Energy Medicine, author of 18 books on healing archetypes, chakras, and homeopathic color and sound medicine, uses healthy archetypes as part of her healing work. In the show, she will convey her wisdom on creating archetypes and color sound frequencies to enhance our healing process after a major life crisis like the one experienced because of the April 2015 earthquake by people in Nepal. Dear Andika, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, perfectly. For our listeners, in your words, how would you describe what an archetype is?
Well, an archetype is a two-dimensional creation of the mind. It's not a three-dimensional living human, which has infinite possibilities for transformation and change. An archetype doesn't change. All we can do is embody a higher archetype, work through the issues and the challenges, meet the archetype, and move on to another archetype. Mickey Mouse is an archetype. Rambo is an archetype. All the gods and goddesses of the pantheon are archetypes. And we embody archetypes as we grow. It's one of the ways we learn. That's what theater is. That's what films are. That's what good books are. They embody archetypes that teach us about the power of good, and hopefully ways of combating what is less than good. So an archetype is a construct, but it is not a living reality. A person is not an archetype. A person may embody certain qualities of an archetype, but a person, a living being, has got infinite possibilities of choice. So I love working with archetypes because they take us through the shadows, they take us through the light, they show us what's good, they show us what's weak, they show us what needs to be developed and what needs to be let go of. It's a wonderful way of working with soul psychology. And I've done it for many, many years and read, Carl Jung wrote a lot about it, Jennifer Pearson, I believe, wrote a lot about archetypes. And films, every time we go to a film and we see something that attracts us or repels us, we are dealing in the realm of archetypes. Does that help?
Yes, definitely does. So how can an archetype describe states of energy, emotional awareness, and behavioral patterns?
I need you to repeat that louder and more clearly. I'm sorry I was not able to hear you clearly.
Sure. How can an archetype describe states of energy, emotional awareness, and behavioral patterns?
Right. Okay. So an archetype, as I see it, has got energy, a level of responsibility, and an emotional connection to the spirit. The more we take responsibility for our archetype, the more we become empowered, and the more energy we have available to us. So I've linked the archetypes to the chakras. And when we work with the root chakra, the very base chakra, the very base of the spine, we're dealing with family, community, clan, tribe, institution. And how we fit into our world is pretty much determined by our willingness to have a sense of belonging. If we don't feel we belong or we don't espouse the same values as our family, tribe, community, we need to transform that root archetype into the root chakra archetype into a higher level. So the archetypes I've chosen for the root chakra, the negative archetype, is the victim. And in this world today, there are many real, true victims of political restlessness, political manipulation, financial crisis, racial, homophobic negativity. There are many, many victims today, probably more victims on the planet Earth today than that we have ever seen at any time. And you wanted to talk about Nepal. Over 6,000 people have lost their lives. Endless people have lost family members and members of their community taken from them. So that is a level of victimhood. And the only way out of victimhood is through the help of the external world. They need our help. The world needs help right now. And in helping communities, the global community, we transform our archetypes. We become more empowered, we become more compassionate, we become more loving, and we become more conscious. So sometimes people need to take on the role of archetype in order for the rest of the world to transform to a higher level of awareness. I hope that makes some sense to you.
Yes, it does indeed. Thank you very much for your explanation. So,
let me just say one thing about the positive archetype of the root chakra is the mother, the one who cares for her family, who makes everything okay, who nourishes, who brings positive energy into chaotic and catastrophic situations. So Pachamama, Mama Earth, is calling us to help, to bring good where we can. I heard the Dalai Lama once during the Katrina hurricane crisis in New Orleans. Somebody said, "Aren't you going to go to New Orleans and help?" And he said, "No, I'm not. I'm sending my prayers, my thoughts, my vision for healing." He said, "That's enough. I don't have to show up physically." And I think that's what I would like to say from the root chakra, from the mother in us all, men, women, anywhere in this global community, we send the best wishes for healing and recovery to people suffering everywhere on the globe, but particularly now, the devastation that's happened in Nepal is so tremendous. It's so devastating and so hard to be witness to. And we need to come out of mother, out of the good mother in us all, to help those victims. Okay.
Yes, we do. So, in your experience, what is the relation between archetypes and chakras, and how is it that there is a positive and negative side for each?
Good question. Well, chakras are in the etheric body, one of the subtle bodies in the auric field, and chakras are conductors of energy. They bring in earth energy and cosmic energy. Where those energies meet, they create a vortex. I work with 7 chakras in the human energy system, although there are infinite numbers of chakras. I work with the root, the sacral chakra, the solar plexus, the heart, the throat, the brow, and the crown. Those chakras in ancient Indian folklore had gods and goddesses attached to them. And what I've done is I've just taken the realm of archetypes and transposed archetypes, positive and negative archetypes, onto the chakras, because in Western culture we don't work with the realm of gods too often, gods and goddesses, but we do work with archetypes. And when you know your archetype, you know, when you know where you're coming from in any choice you make, you have the power to transform it. You have the choice to come out of victimhood and develop the mother chakra. You have the choice to come out of any level of disempowerment and choose a higher level of response. And that's why they work so well together, because when you do choose higher ground in your thinking, in the way you look at the challenges and situations in your life, what will come to you is more energy. More energy allows more goodness to come from the divine. These are channels. These are channels to the soul. And through looking at our belief system, through working with our archetypes and the field of energy that we respond to, we can evolve to higher and higher levels of consciousness and really establish, expand, and stabilize our relationship with the divine.
How can you describe a chakra? What is the difference with a nadi, and how are these related with our integral health?
Chakras are conductors of energy. As I said, earth energy and cosmic energy. They feed what is called the nadi. A nadi is a non-anatomical point that channels energy into the ductless glands of the body. People know that immunity and health is very much related to hormonal flow throughout the body. The root chakra's hormones are the adrenal cortex of the kidney, which govern fight or flight. The second chakra are the sexual organs in men and women. The third chakra is the pancreas, which has to do with empowerment and joy. The heart chakra is the thymus gland. The throat chakra is the thyroid gland. The brow chakra is the pituitary gland. And the crown chakra is the pineal gland. And proper function at a physical level keeps us in the flow of life. When all chakras are functional, then there is balanced hormonal flow. But the chakras are incredibly susceptible to thoughts, to thought patterns. And if we say, I'm ugly and nobody loves me, everything's going to contract and close down. Everything. So we want to stay open. We want to be affirmative. That's why we talk about negativity so much. It creates so much toxicity at a physical level. It turns the blood acid. It closes down the energy field. It feeds the trauma field. And what it does is I believe it creates addiction. I think addiction comes out of trauma, and trauma comes out of unresolved issues in our life. I was looking at your website yesterday, and I saw that there's a woman who works with trauma. And I don't remember her name, but she was having people look at the gratitude for the terrible things that happened in their life. What was the good that came out of this? And I was very impressed with that. I thought, yes, we are compelled to look at what was the blessing in this bad situation. What came out of this horrible catastrophe, and how can we start to shrink the hooks of misfortune that we hold in our psyche? And the only way I know how to do that is to call upon the divine, call upon God to bless my life with goodness, because it is through goodness, through love, through light that we heal. And in healing, we shrink the trauma field. We let the energy flow. We allow the chakras to become truly functional, non-anatomical organs that channel the divine into our small, edited ego life, our small life on earth.
How, in your experience, is creating healthy archetypes fundamental for our healing process?
Well, I think the more empowered we become, the more responsible we are for our lives, the more energy we have that just feeds the archetype. The more responsible we are for the goodness that comes to us through all the chakras, the more we allow light to flow into our lives. And that light is the goodness from the divine. And I think it strengthens us. I think people who don't develop their inner world, especially in today's world with so many challenges, people are really faced with having to live in fear and create a trauma pool that festers and eats up your health, eats up your resources, eats up your goodness, or making choices that will strengthen us. You know, whether it's going into therapy or working with a healer or having homeopathy or working with your chakras or listening to good radio programs like this, reading good books, all that feeds strength. It gives us courage to walk our talk. It gives us courage to be the best we can be in these very challenging times.
Can you explain to our listeners how can we create healthy archetypes after experiencing a major life disaster like the earthquake in Nepal?
Well, that's a very good question. And I would say we look at our response. Let's say we read about it on the news and we say, oh, that's too bad. Oh, look, 6,000 plus people have died. Oh, that's too bad. That's them over there and me over here, and I'm doing fine. I've got gas in my car. I paid my mortgage. You know, and I'm doing just fine. That's low level. When you see that this is a global community that we live in, a cosmic community that we live in, you're compelled to do something positive in response. You expand your archetype, you upgrade your archetype to a higher level by making a choice to do something, even if it is just sitting for a moment and praying for the souls of all those who passed over and their families who are left in grief, hunger, without shelter, just a prayer for that goodness to come to them. That raises your archetype. If you have the means, send money to one of the agencies that's helping, whether it's the International Red Cross or some form of rescue, whether that's $5 or $5,000, depending upon what you can comfortably hand over. And to hold the consciousness that we are one people, one planet, is really working out at the highest level of the crown chakra. And to fill your heart with compassion for so much suffering. There was a lady in my community here who was in Nepal when that happened, and she said the best thing she could do was to get out of the country. She did not need to take up any resources. That was her thinking. And I really applauded her for her choice. You know, she said there was nothing that she could visibly do. She didn't have the skill set to bring medical aid. So she left, and she left as quickly as she could because she didn't want to take up any resources of water or fuel or housing. And I thought that was a very intelligent thing to do. And to hold people in prayer, she went on our local television network and, you know, really is starting to appeal to people here to give from their hearts and from their pocketbooks to help Nepal. So, you know, it does touch our everyday community. And in a few months, we will find that there are people that we know or people we meet who are one person away from the disaster that happened there. Because that's how disaster hits. We're so
yes.
close to it. We are so close to it.
Yes. For our listeners, you can donate for people in Nepal, as I'm just telling us. through many different companies that are sending aid and are helping the people in Kathmandu. These are Oxfam India, UNICEF India, CARE India, and many more. And $1 is something, $5 is something, $50 is something. It doesn't matter what you are able to give. The important thing is to give them anything that you are able to help them in any way.
Yes, that's absolutely right.
Yes. So how, in your experience, how can we transform our current archetype to create a more confident, mature, and empowered archetype for ourselves after experiencing a major life crisis?
Well, I think the first thing is to come out of victimhood. I think victimhood is the lowest level on the ladder. It's a very disempowered and often highly irresponsible place to be. It's not a judgment call about being a victim, but it's not a place you want to linger because it doesn't have any life force. There's no energy in being a victim. All your resources are dependent upon other people feeding you, taking care of you, giving you shelter, giving you money, telling you it's going to be okay. It requires a lot of energy from the outside world to take care of victims. So pulling ourselves out of victimhood is, I would say, the very first thing. Learning to mother ourselves, learning to be our own good mothers, whether we are men or women, learning how to take care of ourselves, learning how to find skill sets that honor our God-given gifts so that we can become self-sustaining and, as you said, mature. And hopefully learn how to take care of other people, whether we are healers or therapists or parents or teachers. Learning how to make the world a better place is part of that mother archetype. And we keep going. We keep going to higher and higher levels of empowerment through the chakras. The chakras are age-related as well. So you wouldn't expect a 14-year-old kid to have the empowerment of people in their solar plexus years, which are 21 to 28, people need their childhood. People need time to be irresponsible to a point to find out what their gifts are, what their attractions are, what do they like, what's good for them, and to develop healthy bodies, healthy minds, healthy spirits. You know, so we go up. We keep going. We honor our elders at the higher level of the ladder. We honor the wisdom of the ancients at the higher level of the ladder. I call it the ladder of love. As we become more empowered and more responsible, there is more energy for us. And I've seen people in their 90s, very conscious people in India, and at the Jung Institute where I studied, I saw people who were just radiant with life and joy, and who were, you know, in some cultures would be past their sell-by date, who were, you know, most cultures don't honor the aged, the maturity of and the wisdom of the aged. So I've seen it, and it really inspired me, deeply inspired me. My guru in India, Papaji, he was 94 when he died, and he had the vitality of a young lion. You know, when you see that kind of energy, it's God-given. It's nothing, it's not genetic, it's not cultural. It's that radiant light of the divine coming through.
Yes, I'm so sorry, Lola. So, as a renowned homeopath, how would you describe homeopathy, and what is its importance for our health?
I need you to repeat the last question. What is homeopathy and how does it work on the chakras? Is that the correct question?
Yes. How would you describe homeopathy and what is its importance for our health?
Homeopathy is an energetic medicine. It's based on the power of dilution we take a substance, like let's say one drop of coffee, strong black coffee, we dilute it, one drop of strong black coffee and 10 drops of alcohol. We shake it and succuss it. We take one drop of that, put it in another vial of 10 drops of alcohol. We shake it. We take one drop of that, and it goes on and on and on. So past the 12th dilution, there is no longer molecular substance, which drives the scientists seriously crazy. As you go higher and higher into the series of dilutions, you work first on the physical body at the low level. At the middle level, you work on the body and the emotions. At the third level, the highest level, as you keep going up, you work on the mentality. What we never touch is the will. We never impact the will. We feel that that is a violation of a person's spiritual physiology, if you will. The will is yours. No medicine should ever touch your will. And unfortunately, in allopathic medicine, conventional medicine, the chemicals are so strong, they overpower the will, and people lose their will. They become addictive, and addicted to medicines, addicted to weakness, addicted to victimhood. Homeopathy is empowering. It helps release trauma, shock, and loss. We deal with grief. We deal with anger. We deal with violence. We deal with fears of all kinds, fears and phobias. We deal with delusions of the mind, as well as the physical pathology. The body has no mind of its own. So the highest power in homeopathy is being able to work with what blocks the mind from being positive. Because as I said, you just stay negative long enough, you will create pathology. It's just what we know. And now science is proving what we've known for generations to be so. So how do we transform the power of the mind to see clearly, to make good and wholesome choices? People who are on medication, whose minds are numbed, whose nervous system is numbed, do not make wholesome choices. They can't do it because they don't have the resources. They've been cut off because of medication. Homeopathy is a life-enhancing medicine, and it brings to the chakras, to the glandular system, to the organs and tissues of the body, vitality and life. And I've seen miracles, real miracles happen in the 25 years I've been a homeopath. I've seen healing at the deepest level of tremendous pathology, cancer, diabetes, mental illness, addiction. And I've seen people turn their lives around so that they have found happiness in work, in relationship, and a love of self. And that's really important. When you can't feel anything because you're numbed, it's very hard to develop self-love. It's very hard to mature because you're stuck. You're arrested in time. Because of the meds, they are just so strong. Homeopathy helps people grow up. It helps them mature. It helps them make wise choices for their lives. And I don't know where I'd be without it, quite frankly. It's certainly been a lifeline of mine for over 25 years and has transformed me in more ways than I care to tell. I mean, I am nearly 70 years old and have the vitality of a young woman. I'm vital. My mind is clear. I'm articulate. I'm able to do everything I want. I'm up early in the morning. I meditate. I do my yoga. I work sometimes 14 hours a day if I have to. I play. I love. I enjoy my life. And I attribute it, 9/10 of it, on a physical level to the medicine I use. I use homeopathy. I use acupuncture. I use chiropractic. I use massage. I believe in the power of meditation and prayer. And my life is deeply, deeply fulfilled because of these choices to live a natural life. And I would encourage anybody to really look at what is being forced down their throat by the medical community. I'm not saying people don't need meds, and I'm not saying that there are medications that don't do good, but there is balance. And learning how to find that balance and what we really need, that's an art form. That's an art form that only a really good and mature practitioner can make and help other people make. you know, we so readily are willing to have surgery or willing to have a pill that we think will empower us. There are no silver bullets to health, none at all. And it's a big mistake of our culture to think that there are quick fixes. There aren't. Health is a commitment, especially in this day and age. Health is a commitment to being discerning and making wholesome choices for who and what are for our highest good. So I can talk about this forever.
Your words are really inspiring, Asika. You get really love to listen to you, and I'm sure all our listeners are really enjoying the show. So are there any differences between homeopathy and flower and mineral essences?
Well, yes. Homeopathy is potentized substance. You can work with gem elixirs. You can work with flower essences. But they are still in the realm of substance, or what we call mother tincture. A mother tincture, for instance, let's say you take flowers from your garden and you put them in spring water and you put them in sunlight, and then you use the water to treat certain emotional conditions. That's what the flower essences are. Homeopathy goes further. It takes that water and it potentizes it through a series of dilutions. That's the magic of homeopathy, is dilution. Using the minimal amount of that dilution to stimulate the vital force within you. Like cures like. So we are always looking for that affinity of a remedy to a person's emotional, mental, and physical condition. And we use just the minimal amount to stimulate that person's vitality and create health. It takes time, but we don't flood the system. We don't try to take over the function of the organs or the systems. We try to stimulate them back into balance. And I would say that's probably true of all universal medicines, like acupuncture is the same. It's that minimal stimulation to the energy flow. And that's what homeopathy is. And we use all the substances of the natural and even the unnatural world. We have remedies made from computer screens and neon lights and petroleum and chocolate, because that's what people have become addicted to in this world, is the need for more unnatural things. But all the plants are remedies. All the periodic table of elements are remedies. And some animal matter, not much, but some. So we use snake venoms. We use spider venoms. And because things are potentized in the series of dilutions, we have removed all alkalinity, alkaloids from them, so that what was poison becomes the good medicine. We use everything the Creator gave us for medicine. And that's what makes us such a powerful healing force.
That is beautiful. So in your experience, how can a flower and some homeopathy remedies contribute to a well-being after experiencing a natural
disease? I need you to repeat it. I think I've heard it clearly, but I need it said again. I'm sorry, the connection is just kind of fuzzy. Would you mind saying that one more time, please?
Sure. How can color and sound homeopathy remedies contribute to our well-being after experiencing a natural disaster?
Excellent question. The color and sound remedies are designed to work on the chakra system. So if you have been involved in a situation that's ungrounded, you pulled the rug out from under you, you're going to want the color red that works on the root chakra. You're going to want to get your grounding back. First thing, get your grounding back. We have many remedies besides color and sound. We use rescue remedy, which is a box flower remedy. We use aconite and arnica as the two major shock and trauma remedies in homeopathy. But color remedies go a long way. Because they work on the energy field directly, they will help ground you and bring balance to your system. So middle C is the sound remedy, and red is the root chakra remedy. And I would certainly encourage anybody to use both those in a natural catastrophe. They're really important. But they are also for emotional crises where we get ungrounded, when somebody passes away, when there's been divorce or separation or any kind of loss. Red will ground us. Middle C will ground us. They're very gentle, but they bring us back into our body, because what happens in shock and catastrophe is the spirit vacates the body. It just goes back to God. It wants out of the physical. So this will bring the physical, it'll open up the physical to be able to ground the spirit again. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, it does. So I want to thank you, Angelica, for being here with us today. You have been of great help. And you really, you know, you're really a very inspiring teacher. I would call you a master teacher, because all of your words, all of your experience, all of your work, all of your books, everything that you share, really shares light among humanity. So I want to thank you for being with us today, and especially for all the work that you've been sharing with us for so many years.
Thank you so much for having me on your program. It's really been a pleasure speaking about what is dear to my heart, and I hold the prayer for all of us that we open our hearts to helping the people in Nepal in the best way we can. So thank you. God bless, and I look forward to talking with you soon. Bye-bye,
God
dear.
God bless. Bye-bye, dear. God bless. And thanks to all of you who are listening to our show online or on demand. We are here for and because of you. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram for further inner healing news. Tune in for tomorrow's episode on emotional healing with Chris Griscom from the Light Institute in Galisteo, New Mexico. We can all heal from within. We are all inner healers.